Please turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. As we are finishing up a series of messages on healing and hope in an ever-present God. This is the message of 10, and we're looking at this morning being united, joyful, and in prayer during and in times of trouble. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read the very first verse of chapter 4, and then if you would read in unison, verses 2 through 7 as the church. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, as we are in your presence, and after we have just read your word, I ask, Lord, that you'll please, Lord, speak through me to the church this morning. And Lord, I pray that during the times ahead in our nation, in the church, when Christianity is on a decline in our nation, and Lord, it seems like everything appears to be falling apart for our nation, God, help us to be ever closer to you and to one another, to be united to spread the gospel message in these days in which we live. And may you receive glory. Lord, we know that not many mighty or noble or wise are called, but those that allow you to use them, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit so that you can have all glory. We ask that you allow us to be one to be used of you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. United and joyful in prayer during troubled times. You know, this is a message that speaks of unity in the church and in families. Unity that it seems like as a nation, we need to come together, united again, one nation under God. And we need to be united, states of America, again. And it seems like in America, we need to quit playing church and be the church. But when we think of unity and getting along with each other and serving the Lord together and having the joy of the Lord, I have some sentences that you never hear in church. You ready for them? You never hear this in church. Hey, it's my turn to sit on the front pew. I was so enthralled I never noticed your sermon went over time 25 minutes. Personally, I find witnessing much more enjoyable than golf. I've decided to give our church the $500 a month I used to send to the TV evangelist. I volunteer to be the permanent teacher for the junior high Sunday school class or the kindergarten class. Forget the denominational minimum salary. Let's pay our pastor so he or she can live like we do. I love it when we sing hymns I've never heard before. You ever heard that one? I haven't. Y'all are quiet out there. These are supposed to be jokes. Since we're all here, let's start the worship service early. Pastor, we'd like to send you to this Bible seminar in the Bahamas. Nothing inspires me and strengthens my commitment like our annual stewardship campaign. That's enough of that. Some things you never hear in church. Church. What is the church? You're the church. We are the church. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church and members of the church to be read to the congregation of the church when they met together. And the Apostle Paul was not one that everything in his life just fell in place. He endured extreme hardship to spread the gospel message to the Gentiles. He endured persecution from religious leaders of the time, in the scribes and the Pharisees of the church, of the group, the Jewish people in Jerusalem. So he endured trials and tribulation and troubled times. Also, he was probably under house arrest here when he wrote this letter. And yet he is writing to the church to be united, joyful, and in prayer during troubled times. There in verse 1, he tells us to stand fast in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, using two Christian terms to describe the church, beloved, and he described them as brethren, his joy, his crown. And he says, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. This word stand fast is a military term that is used for the military to take a stand, not to retreat, but simply stand fast, to be on guard, to stand firm in your commitments, to stand firm in your mind and in your soul and in your heart. Stand firm in the Lord. The only possible way that you and I can stand firm and to stand fast is to be in the Lord as we do it. Now this speaks of, in the New Testament, it's a paradox that you and I are called to stand fast, to be committed, to be having one mind, the mind of Christ. And also it says in the New Testament, like in Jude, that He keeps us as His children. So we are to have the mindset and the want to stand fast. And yet the only way to do that is to be in the Lord, because He is the one that keeps us and holds us and gives us the ability to stand fast or to stand firm. Now as we realize this and read on in these verses, he tells them to be of the same mind in verse 2. And he's speaking to these two ladies, Euodia and Implorcentes, to be of the same mind in the Lord. So he has encouraged them as an apostle, a commandment. He implores them to be together, these two ladies. Now, Euodia, her name means a prosperous journey. A prosperous journey or success. That's what her name means. Sentish means a pleasant acquaintance. It's what their names literally meant, but their actions was not going along with their names. Now I want to remind you this. Your name is Christian. If you're born again this morning, you are called Christian, which means little Christ. So our actions should speak of the things of Christ. And we should do things in the name of the Lord. And it's His mind, His actions that we strive to live after and to be little Christ in this world. And when we are all little Christ in this world, we are one. I'm not talking about world religions. I'm talking about the church, and I'm talking about evangelical denominations that confess Jesus as Lord. And we can be one when we take a stand for the things of Christ. So he is encouraging them to be of the same mind. What kind of mind are we to have? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What kind of mind was in Christ Jesus? Verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So this mind of Christ is a humble spirit. It's a mind that is obedient to the cause of Christ. It's obedient to God's Word, because he was obedient to all the prophetic announcements of the Messiah in the Old Testament, and he fulfilled all the prophecies concerning the Messiah. That's how obedient Jesus Christ was. And that's the kind of mindset you and I are to have, is to be obedient to Christ, to follow Him, to obey Him, to be humble about it as we serve Him. Also this mind, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, turn back to chapter 4. And it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So it's meditating on the good things of God, meditating on Him and all these things that are praiseworthy unto God. My wife went to a pastor's wife's conference over the weekend. She came home and was excited, and I had to listen for an hour and a half about the conference last night. But one of the things that she learned was a major, one of the symptoms of burnout. Of course, this was a pastor's conference. Sometimes pastors burn out, sometimes their wives or both. But you know what? Not only pastors, but you can burn out. You can have a spirit of not caring, or, you know, having a critical spirit about things and of one another. That's a symptom of burnout. Now, when we are serving Christ and we have the mindset of Christ and we are humble serving Him, you know what? That critical spirit would not be there, because Christ did not have a critical spirit about, well, it wasn't my way, or it could have been better, or this or that. But Christ was a humble servant and even endured the cross for you and I. So he was encouraging these two ladies and the church to get along and to look to the common bond. What is our common bond? It's not that maybe some of you are cousins or brothers or sisters, blood kin, or you've been hunting partners or golf buddies for years or whatever. The common bond of Cooper Baptist Church is the blood of Jesus Christ, period. That's it. Our common bond is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else should ever trump doing the things of Christ and serving Him. Amen? That's our common bond as brothers and sisters, our beloved in Christ, our brethren in Christ. You and I are brothers and sisters in Christ because we have been covered and washed by the Redeemer and by His blood. So our common bond, this common mindset, is Christ Jesus and serving Him for His glory. Now these two ladies, you know, something was going on. I don't know what was happening to them. It could have been also two men. It could just very easily have been two men or two women. But many times when there's so much freedom, sometimes it'll give people license to put personal preference in front of the things of Christ. And when you put personal preference or personal whatever in front of giving Christ glory and serving Him and to increase the kingdom of God, which is through Christ Jesus our Lord, if anything else, any other preference comes before that, then it brings disunity in the body. So the common bond is to give Christ glory. Look with me in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. What's the common goal? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's why one of the reasons as a church was to adore the Lord, is to worship Him, but our common goal is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we are about working towards that goal and having that mindset, personal whatevers will not get in the way. So he encouraged them to be of the same mind. Also, he says to help each other to have the mind of Christ in verse 3. He is encouraging them and also a fellow companion to help these two women in verse 3. They're fellow workers. And all of their names are written in the book of life. Did you know Christian people can have disagreements and still be in the book of life? Did you know missionaries can also have disagreements and split up? And Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. And now there was two missionary teams going out and advancing the gospel. But years later they retained relationship with each other, and they encouraged one another. So their people have disagreements. But Christian people, what makes us Christian and what makes us different from the rest of the world is how we handle the disagreements. Amen? You can get your marbles and go home, or go play marble some other place, and I guess I guarantee you that marble game won't be to your liking either. Because personal preferences instead of the common goal and the common bond, which is only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. for His glory, to be of the same mind, to help each other, to have the mind of Christ. I was so encouraged this morning when I was shaking Miss June Deal's hand that she just shook my hand and said, "Brother Evan, so nice to see you this morning." I thought she was going to hug my neck, but she was squeezing my hand real hard. It even hurt, but I don't know why. But I was worried about Miss June and Ronnie Mack, because they both got beat really bad by Susan and I in dominoes Thursday night. Now, stuff like that could really cause trouble and friction among people. But, but she came to church and was happy to see me, and I was worried about that. That's just a little side note or little thing there between me and Miss June. But what I'm getting at is this. It's how we work through things, and the common goal is to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? To reach people, to minister to people, to love on people. That's the common goal. And he says that their names are written in the book of life, so we're dealing with brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not the enemy. They're not the enemy. The devil is. So, help each other to have the mind of Christ. Now, if your agenda here at church is something other than Jesus Christ and all the things that pertains to Him, you need to get saved this morning. If you're here for whatever reason, to look good in the community, or for whatever it may be, I don't understand why some things. But if it's not for Jesus Christ, oh, come to Christ this morning. Have the mind of Christ. We need to help each other to stand as a mighty army. He also tells them to be joyful in the Lord. Be joyful in the Lord always. What does that mean? That don't mean to be fake about it. You know, people that have been through so much in their lives, they come to church and they worship the Lord, and other people look down at them. And they're happy to be here, and yet some, Jesus called them hypocrites, those who are phony about their relationship with Him. But I'm talking to people right now that you've been through so much that it doesn't matter what other people think about you. You're here to worship God. You're here to draw closer to Him. You just don't know what I've been through to get to right here. You don't know the struggles, the hardships. Moses went on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years and he could lead the people of God because God called him. And Moses could say, "You just don't know what all I had to go through in the wilderness." Joseph could say, "You don't know what I had to go through to be sold into slavery by my brothers and to be thrown in prison to get here to be the prime minister of Egypt. You just don't know what I've been through to be here today. But I'm here. I'm here. And I'm going to worship God because I'm here to worship Him. And my common bond is with my brothers and sisters to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ." You just don't know Look down at your nose at me if you want to. You don't know what I've been through. Be joyful. Does that mean we got to have a phony smile all the time? That's not what it means. But it means looking to Christ, because He is our joy. I'm not happy all the time. This woman that lives with me, she knows I'm not happy all the time. She's not either. Not what I've done, something the kids did, not me. We're not happy all the time, but we have joy in the Lord. And He also says, notice this, that the Lord is coming back. Look with me in verses. Let's read verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Verse 4. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So, be gentle, kind, be yielding to one another. Why should we get along to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ and not allow preferences to get in the way? Because Jesus is coming back. My Redeemer is coming. And I want to be about doing what my Redeemer wants me to be doing. Our Redeemer is standing by. And He will never break His promise. He's coming back. We ought to be about living as He could come back today. Our Redeemer's coming. When Christianity, 2% are in church in Europe today. 2%. America is fat. Look around. We've already lost a generation. And the next generation, do you think they're going to love and support the things of Christ? Quit playing church and get real. Get real. Jesus is coming back. Be joyous to know in this fact. I think other believers in other parts of the world that are under extreme persecution for their faith. Some are in jail, some have been murdered. The Redeemer is coming back for them too. Amen. Here we sit in an air-conditioned auditorium. And the least little thing can keep us away. Where's the joy in that? Where's the joy? He will never break His promise. He says He's coming back. Please notice verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. You see, anxiety is not an appropriate characteristic of a Christian. That's not appropriate. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, everyone say everything just to tell me you're awake. Everything. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So pray, pray, and pray during troubled times. Rejoice during troubled times. Pray about everything. You know, troubled times can either pole vault us, furthering our faith to increase our faith and mature us in the faith, or it can sideline us. You're just on the sideline. You're just a shell of the person you ought to be because you're sidelined. You're not obedient. You're not trusting. You're not seeking the Lord. You're on the sideline. But when we go through troubled times, praying about everything, everything, what does He promise us? The very peace of God stands guard about us. Think about that. When you're praying, prayer is the muscle that pulls on the mighty arm of omnipotence. And you're praying, the peace of God stands guard. Stands guard. Acts like a soldier standing guard. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, the common bond is Christ. And when we are praying about everything, as the church, as individuals, the peace of God stands guard. Wolves in sheep clothing may come by. The lion may be out about roaring. Our adversary. But when the church is praying, and you're praying as individuals, peace of God stands guard. Think of it. Stands guard. So if you have a critical spirit, if you're like these two ladies, not able to get along, you know, come to think of it, if you can't get along with everybody else, it may be you. You may be the one. Get with Christ. Get with Him. Let us pray. Lord, once again we have an invitation at Cooper Baptist Church. And some have sat in sin for years, refusing to obey. Only You can save. Only You can. Please touch hearts.